of James here this beautiful morning. The book of James, real simple message, short message I'm going to be preaching here this morning, unless the Lord has other plans. The book of James, chapter 1. We've been on for 2 months on the theme Foundations to Answering the Call of God. Amen. And this new month of March, we go on to a new theme. And the new theme here for this month of March is honoring God with our time, talents, and treasures. I'm going to be speaking about stewardship. I'm going to be speaking about stewardship here this morning. And I pray that the few scriptures I use will change your mindset in the area on how you look at finances, how you look at money. Amen? And I know that's a subject that many people don't want to talk about. That's a subject that many people don't even want to give towards, the tithing and the offerings. But this morning I pray that the Lord touch you in such a way to give you some insight on how important it is to be a good steward of what the Lord has given us to work with. Amen. Before we read in the book of James, I'm going to break down the word steward. And the meaning of steward is a person who manages someone else's property, finances, or other affairs. Steward, stewardship. Is a person who manages someone else's property, finances, or other affairs. The book of James, chapter 1, verse 17 reads, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Father, we thank you. We love you for this beautiful start this Sunday morning. I pray that you put me to the side, that you continue to minister this morning to the men and the women and the youth that are present, and that your will be done within your temple here this morning. In your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. Stewardship is a person who manages someone else's property, finances, or other affairs. The book of James in 1:17 clearly tells us that every good and perfect gift is not only from above, amen, but coming down from the Father. God is the source. We need to start off with this morning that God is the source of everything we have, everything you can even put that you own. See, there's some things that we have that really don't belong to us. Then there's some things like maybe a car that you've already paid for and you own that car. I want to let you know here this morning that the Lord is the source of everything you have or that you think you own. It's the Lord. And I'm going to give a 3 or 4 more scriptures to confirm this very solid, very clear, that what we have is not really ours, but we're just simply managers of what the Lord has given us to work off of. Remember, stewardship, dealing with property, dealing with finances, dealing with other affairs. And I'm going to prove to you through scripture here this morning as we go to the book of Genesis, chapter 1. Remember, if you don't have a Bible, the scriptures are on the overhead projector. I would really appreciate that you read. I want you to look up there and I want you to read it right now. I want the word of God to go through you. Amen. I want the word of God to go through you right now. James 1:17 says that every good thing comes from above, from the Father. Genesis 1:27, very known scripture says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So we come to find out in the book of James chapter 1, verse 17, that all good and perfect things come from above, from the Father. Amen? We come out to find out in Genesis 1:27 that God is the one that created us. Amen? I got simple points. He's the one that gave you life. You didn't cause yourself to exist. You didn't say one day, I want to be born June the 17th, 1963. That's my birthday, in case you don't know it. You might be thinking you're an accident this morning. And that's why you blame all your shortcomings on. The Bible says that it is the Lord, in verse 27, that God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So through James, we find out that every good and perfect gift comes from above. In Genesis 1:27, we come to find out that God created even us. And in Acts, let's go to Acts now. Acts chapter 17. A lot of times we hold on to our money because we don't know God's word. By the end of this service, you're going to know his word in this area. There's going to be some clarifications taking place for those that just still feel they shouldn't be tithing, that they don't have to give, that it's somebody else's responsibility. Acts 17, verse 28 reads, for in him we live and we move and have our being. It says again in the beginning part of 28, it says, for in him we live and move and have our being. In him we live, we move, and have our being. God did not only give you physical life, but he is the source of your wisdom and abilities. He gave you the talents you use to earn a living. Verse 28 says very clearly, for in him we live and move and have our being. Everything is because of the Lord this morning. You breathing, seeing, and hearing right now is of the Lord. It's not something you're in control of. But too many times when we abuse our body, our eyes can start, our ears, our body health can start to deteriorate. But the Bible says, once again, backing up in Genesis, that all good things and perfect things come from above. In James, Genesis says that God created us, The book of Acts says that he's given us not only a physical life, but our being and our movement. Everything comes from Jesus. Let's go to the final scripture. 1 Corinthians. Chapter 6. Verse 19. The Bible says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own." Verse 20 says, "You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body." We don't belong to ourselves anymore. When Jesus came in and paid the price, especially when a man and a woman surrenders their life and receives salvation, the Bible says we don't belong to ourselves no more, that we've been purchased with the price. That our body is the temple where the Holy Spirit abides in. Too many times we want to be in control in what we want to do or the way we think and see things. And when we did do all that stuff, we got all messed up. But then we gave our lives to the Lord. And he purchased us through his precious blood. And there wasn't many that wanted to adopt people like us. But the Bible says that the Lord adopted us as his very own. And that he paid a price through his son, Jesus' precious blood. Remember, a steward or stewardship is a person who manages someone else's property, finances, or other affairs. James, everything that is good and pure comes from above. Genesis, God created us. Acts, amen, that he's the one that's given us our movement, our being, our wisdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 knocks it out of the box, says that he purchased us, that we don't even belong to ourselves no more. But too many times you want to continue to live as we are the ones in control and as if we have not been purchased. I know if I was to purchase a cat or a dog or whatever it was, that dog or cat's going to have to come under my rules. It's something I have paid for. But stewardship simply is a person who manages someone else's property, finances, or other affairs. I have a simple note here. It says, God has entrusted you with all of your finances, and that it's important to develop the mindset of being a steward over God's money, not yours. So if God created you and purchased you and you don't even belong to yourself no more, what makes you think that your money's your money? We need to develop a mindset of being a steward over God's money, not yours. Another point I have here is God wants to be the source of everything in your life. He wants to be the source of everything in your life. The Lord never intended you to carry the burden of financial responsibility. He's in charge. And because he's in charge, he says 10% of your earnings. To be able to plant seed, to be able to reap a harvest. that he will multiply, that he's responsible for. The Lord is responsible for the finances that he gives you when you do what he tells us to do, what we're supposed to do with our finances. He's responsible to multiply that 10% into the 30, 60, 100-fold. He's responsible to bring the harvest within your life. Too many times we want to be responsible of my money because I worked for it, when that is not the order of God. It's hard when you keep hold of your money and there's no seed hitting the ground and thinking you're going to produce a harvest. It's hard to think that you feel you can get away with doing it your way and God's just going to stand back and feel sorry for you and bless you anyhow. I hate this word, but I'm going to use it. There's some freeloaders in the church right now. Freeloaders. I know that don't sound biblical and don't sound polished, but I go there. There's some freeloaders in here right now. Still looking for all the good things that come to the church and to the man of God and the woman of God. All good things and perfect things that come from above. You want to hear the word. You want everything the Lord has to offer you, but you got a problem in this area of paying your tithes and offerings. You got a problem in this area. This is an area that you feel that you're supposed to be in control of. Lord, you can be in control of this area of my life. You can definitely be in control of my wife. Please be in control of my wife. You can be in control of my children. You can be in control of my boss, that he gives me more money, more money, more money. And you can be in control of this and this and this. But when it comes to the money, I'm in control of it. I make the calls when it comes down to the money part. I'm the head of the household. I know a lot of head of the households that are very poor managers of the finances that God has entrusted in their care. And we get to a place where we think it's ours, and it's not. Our very own body belongs to God. It's been purchased through the blood of Jesus. Our movement, our being, our wisdom, our knowledge, our talents, our purpose, it comes from God. But there's something funny about money that we just want to be control of, because you don't trust nobody. Can't trust nobody. I know it's kind of hard to trust a connection to come with your dope around the corner. I understand that. But you can trust this man of God with your finances. Because when it comes from your hands to the bucket, amen, you're blessed at that point, amen. Even if I was to go run the wrong way with those five, but you can bless this man. I best assure every penny you can bless, be blessed that that money is going to be spent wisely as the Lord would want it to be spent. Even when it looks like it don't make sense and it's being spent $15,000, $20,000 in a building that's not habited, amen, when I hear from God and it's going that way, that means it's going that way. Because if I would have left it to all of you all, a high percentage would have never thought of putting any money in that church. I am a steward of what comes in, not only to myself, but from all of you all. And if you know me by now, I'm a pastor. This June will be here 11 years, and I haven't gone on one vacation yet. Not because I'm trying to prove something, because I'm upon my Father's business. I'm trying to make it happen. I'm trying to multiply what's coming in. I'm trying to receive God's favor to bless your lives. And some of you are wanting to do the God of God. You've heard the calling. But you still got a problem with paying your tithes. It's an area that you feel you got in control with. And that area still the Lord is in control of. He's saying, stay in control of 90%. Just give forth that 10%. And watch what I can do with 10%, and I'll see what you can do with 90%. We don't have all we got right now because we've been bad stewards. This is what the Lord has been able to do. We still own all the other properties, 3 on the south side, 4 or 5 on this side. Came here with no money doing car washes. But I was faithful in the little, so the Lord says, I'm gonna bless them in the much. I'm going to trust them with the much. If I can be trusted with $5 car wash money. See, the Lord is looking for he can trust in the little. And you're always thinking big money when the Lord's thinking 10%. It's good this morning if you walk out of this building, focus on the 10%, not the 90%. The 10%. And we're supposed to go beyond that. But for starters, 10% is where it starts. I always tell a group of people that I meet with downstairs, and I always say, big churches, you got to give how much you make, your salary, your annual income, to be a member of the church, the big churches here in town. And I say, I don't know what you guys make, but I definitely know what you don't make. And some of you think, as I'm being really nice, I'm getting nicer and nicer as time goes by. I got some solid people, what I call solid in the church, and you're still cheating on the tithe. I know you're cheating on tithe, and it's real hard for me to bring you in. Real hard for me to bring you in. And you're at that 5%, 6% mark. And you're trying to make it look like the full tithe. Now, I could see you said, Pastor, I can only give 5 or 6% this month because this happened. But you've been doing it for a long time now. And you're cutting yourself short. You're 3, 4% away from doing it God's way, for he can continue to give you more finances to be the manager of, the care over. There's many areas that we do real good in ministry, so we try to hide this money part. Money has power, and that's why it's so important that we give that power to the Lord to operate with. Too many times you want to stay holding to that money becomes more important than what God has for your life, and you'll give him this area and this area and this area of your life, but you remain holding on to that tithe, to the seed that he has given you to make a deposit. There's no way that you're going to receive a harvest with not a deposit. Some of you are saying, well, the truth is I've been giving about 5%. 5% at 30, 60, 100 fold. I'm cool with that. It's still disobedience, though. It's still disobedience to God's word. I could see if it was give 90% to the church and stay with 10, I could see that would be a tough one. There was a time when I was running the streets and I would sneak out the windows, and I was in high school and I would just have to muster up a couple. Back then you get a 6-pack for $2. A couple of joints, a couple of rock and roll, 8-tracks, a little Pink Floyd, Black Sabbath, and we were gone. Just a couple of dollars I would have to come in up with. The other guy would have a couple of joints. The other guy would put in for the gas. The other guy would put in the 6-pack. And together, it became a rock and roll party. But that wouldn't keep me. I started to give a little bit to the work of the devil. It wouldn't keep me. I would soon start putting $5 and $10. It would soon, only a party would be on Friday, would become an everyday party. Then I was getting 40 in the clubs, 50, 100. It came to a place where I started dealing drugs to be able to go to the clubs every night and spend whatever I wanted to spend. Devil wasn't happy with that. He still wanted more of the tithe, right? He had 10%. He had 20% of my money. And all of a sudden, he didn't care if I became a dope dealer. He said, just keep it coming. You are my steward. And I am your boss man. Before you know it, I would continue in the drugs where I would become fully hooked on heroin. Where all my money would go to the enemy. And when that took place, it came along with my body. All my body would be given over to the work of the enemy. It was a process. Before you knew it, I was giving everything to the work of the enemy. It's a process sometimes for some when you come into the church, say, I ain't giving, that's crazy, man. I see all that stuff. That's all stuff that's phony. It's fake. Well, look around. They ain't fake people sitting around you. We're real. Pinch yourself if you have to. Pinch your neighbor. God's changing people right now. He's changing people. And he's entrusting us with finances. He's entrusting us with talents and abilities, movement. Can't go to work if you can't move. Then he got to a place where I would come out of prison, go to Victory Outreach, Salinas, California. And I would tithe for the very first time to the Lord, and I would continue to do it. Before it was the pledge, before I was tithing, full tither, pledges, everything. I would start praying, reading the word, and just a little bit. Before you know it, everything belongs to the Lord without a teaching that I'm giving this morning, without a teaching. Naturally, as I continue to come to the Lord, he too, as the enemy, not the enemy, but he, like the devil, wanted everything from my life, to bless my life, to the point where he would bless me, to the point where I would be able to bless other lives, not only with finances, but with my talents, with my time, the areas that we're going to be covering. You're in the process right now. But some of you are stopping the process of God within your life to bless you and to bless others by holding on to your finances. Got a little quote here. If I was to ask you guys, I give you permission. Nobody's sucking up nobody. If I was to tell you to reach in the person's wallet before in front of you, or to reach in the girl's purse in front of you and just take out their money. Just take out their money. Just, oh yeah, pastor's giving permission. Now you're holding a couple of hundred, whatever it may be, a hundred, whatever it is, and you got your neighbor's money now. And then I also ask you, I want you to give like you've always wanted to give. Hallelujah. Woo. Now, church ushers, as you bring the offering baskets up here, I want all of y'all to be faithful with somebody's money, right? I want you to be 100% faithful with the tithe. Some of you would strut up here, put the money, let everybody see it. They would flat turn the bill and then drop it. And then you would go. And drop another bill. Easy come, easy go, as we say in the streets. You would most likely, I put here, be more generous with someone else's money than your own. You would most likely be more generous with someone else's money than your own. Has anybody ever lent you a car? You're paying for your car, man, and you take care. You park at the end of the parking center, shopping center, because nobody can get you in door dings, right? And then somebody else lends you their car, and you're parking it right in front of the. You could care less if they hit the doors because it's not your car. It's somebody else's car. The money you have without reaching into the person in front of you's wallet or purse, the money you have actually does belong to someone else. Who does it belong to? I got $40. I got $100. No, God's got $140. The truth is, the finances that you do have don't belong to you. They belong to God. And we need to have a liberty in our spirit, if we're serving God correctly, that we can trust Him with the 10% tithe. It's His money. He's the banker. If you go get a loan, your loan might be at 6% interest. Then if you're a youngster getting a car, they'll get you at 18, 20%. They're in charge. That means that's how much you're going to pay them extra on top of the bill. Amen? We are simply a steward, is a person who manages someone else's property, finances, or other affairs. We're simply managers of God's money. And the crazy part of it, He has entrusted a people like you and I with it. There was some of you, when you were out doing your hustle, you wouldn't give $2 to the next person to go score for you. That was your $2. That was your kibble on the line there. Nobody else was going to get it. Praise the Lord. The message is being recorded 2 or 3 times. Praise the Lord. Can you hear me? Hear me? Hear me? Hear me? Jamie's got me going to another level of being online and everything. I'm online at Victory Outreach Milwaukee. It is right now 10 till 12, in case you guys that can't see me just listening to me. It is 10 to 12 at this part of the message you're hearing. Just want to let you know the money you got, website Sears, without coming to church, is God's money. And the address of the church is 1204 South 61st Street, where you can send your love offering this beautiful morning. Are you laying your couch? We're going to use that website, Jamie. We're going to use that website. And if you have any questions, you can talk with Pastor Jamie. It was his bright idea to come into your living room, into your bedroom, into your backyard, into your little party you're having right now, your little late wake up. We're online right now, people. We got to act proper. The money we got don't belong to us. When you think that the money comes from your own sweat at your job, you'll keep a much tighter hold on it. I worked for this. And you grab it and you make a fist. I worked for this. No, God gave you movement, talents, gifts, speech, being. He created you. All these things, good things, perfect things come from above. God did all that. You're just the manager of the finances that He's giving you to operate with. And if you can't pass this test with a minimum paying job, why is He going to give you a big time paying job? He's going to give that to the next man or woman that's in the church right now being faithful with the minimum paying job that he or she got. I know that's where I started, was the minimum paying job. I was happy, man. I was off drugs. Too many times we want to hold on tight to that minimum paying job because we feel that's all we got. No, that's not all God's got for your life. But we hold on tight. We hold on tight to the money when we think it comes from our job and our sweat. We need to change our mindset from owner to steward. Too many of you all think you're the owner of this and this and this. I don't see CEO in front of any one of y'all's names on the tithing envelope. We need to start thinking with the mindset of steward. Another word for steward is a manager. A person who manages someone else's property, finances, or other affairs, instead of thinking of ourselves as an owner. Second Timothy. Everything belongs to the Lord. He just trusting us all over again with finances, with a car, with a place to stay. He's trusting us all over again. And sometimes we mess up in what he says we can do and what he has entrusted us to do. We mess up and we give our finances to the enemy. See, some of you are within you is there's a drive within you to get high, and that and you'll open up that tight fist with that C note or whatever you got in there to give to the connection. But when it comes to putting an offering basket to be blessed of God, no man, that's for hard times. In case I mess up, I got some money to mess up with. And you give money back to the one that messed your life up, that cursed your life. A man or woman going the wrong way will be giving the wrong way, be living the wrong way. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, in closing, Paul speaking. I spoke to the rehab. I forget what day it was, Friday, I believe, morning. And I spoke of Paul and I spoke of Peter when he came to that crippled man from birth. And Peter and John said, "Look at us." And the man did, because he was not only crippled, but he would be placed at the gate called Beautiful every day, the Bible says. Asking for alms, for money. So the beggar gave him his attention, thinking he was going to get some big bucks from Peter and John. What a place to set a crippled person at the church doors outside. So you got the church people got to walk by the person. But this day, the Bible says it just happened to be the time of prayer. And Peter and John met this man that had been put there every day, the Bible says. The Bible even says that he was born like this. He was born crippled. Every day in this condition, I was teaching the rehab, calls for a miracle. Every day. We were an everyday 24/7 people when we were out there going the wrong way. It was so ingrained in us that we needed a God that was able to do miracles. Every day. The Bible says, that was in chapter 3, I believe, and then going into chapter 4, Peter preaching fire. I believe he had this crippled guy right next to him, amen. What God was able to do wasn't only happening in Peter and John's life, but the Bible says they all recognized that man as the beggar. And I believe the power was coming from the preaching of Peter because of the evidence of that man that had been a cripple since birth was standing right next to him. I really believe he was standing where the people were just listening. The Bible says that that day, as he was preaching, that they got arrested. Peter and John got arrested and put in jail. Then you read a little bit further on, and the Bible says that that day 5,000 were added to the church. That was a heavy message. One, he didn't even get to finish it, amen. In the middle, while he was speaking, the Bible says, he was arrested. But nevertheless, I told the rehab that in my mind, I don't think all 5,000 got saved there because they got taken to jail. The message kind of just stopped in the middle. But I said, I believe all the people started going home. Some got saved on the spot, and some were at home still thinking about the words of Peter. Still were able to see the man that had been born crippled and every day was put at that place. See, there was somebody else in on the hustle. The people putting him there were in on the hustle. Could have been mom and dad, brother, sister, neighbor. I don't know, but I believe he was breaking them off something for them to carry him there. I believe people went home. As they were home, they were thinking about the message and they would come back and give their lives to the Lord. They were able to see that crippled man now saved, one that was crippled. Here, Paul speaking in 2 Timothy 2:9. speaking about chains being locked up. He wasn't crippled. He was being obedient, doing God's will. He wasn't a criminal, but yet the writings of Paul says in verse 9 of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9 says, "For which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained." God's word is not chained. It tells me that the word of the Lord, and within his word, it speaks about tithing. It speaks about the 10%. That the word of the Lord cannot be chained. And even though he was chained, and even though Peter and John were in jail, the lives were still getting saved. Because the word of God cannot be chained. In other words, the word of God is a key. The word of God is a key. It's a key that is able to unlock any and every chain and lock that the enemy has chained you up with. As you're obedient to God's word, it becomes a key. I got saved while I was still in prison, the last year in prison, smoking a cigarette, minding my own business, thinking I belonged to myself. I didn't know about the ransom that was paid. Reading a Kenneth Copeland reading, and boom, the anointing of God came upon my life. God's word can be chained, and it came into that prison system, that prison tier that I was on. And it unlocked my life. God's word, as I was reading it, unlocked my life. And even though I still had another year to do in prison left to do, I was set free before I was set free beyond the bars of prison. God's word is a key. It's a key. And too many of you all are locked up by choice. It's as if you're in that spiritual cell right now, and God's given you his word, which is cannot be chained, and you're chained with this lust. You're chained with this addiction. You're chained with the lock of disobedience. And God's saying, I've given you my word. I've given you my key. I've given you my key, but too many of you don't want to read God's word. And you remain locked up, even though you're free. You're in bondage. We are simply managers. And the key of God's word is a master key, I told the rehab. I was just getting this stuff as I was sharing with them. It's a master key. It's a master key that opens anything and everything. See, that's the stuff you can get in the rehab. Anybody want to go to rehab this morning? Rehab, wake up call. Anybody? Anybody listening to the website right now want to go to the rehab? The rehab address is 820 South 25th Street. If you didn't know, amen? That word go through the lines, through the wires. It's a master's key. And the master key, if you were to ever run an apartment place or some big hospitals, there's a key that opens up all the doors. I knew a guy that worked at the VA hospital, amen? And they literally gave him a key that opened all the doors in that property. And they didn't know who he was. They didn't know his background. He says, do you know if I was to lose this key, it would be close to $1 million for them to have to repair all those doors? That's a big property there, right? Wow. But that still ain't got nothing on the master's key. The word of God cannot be chained. It is a key, and it's just not any key. It is the master key. And we are the managers, and we got the master key that opens up anything and everything that could be having you locked up this morning. And I believe there's a big lock. If you want to see it, it's hanging off the fan. You see it? Everybody look up. You see it? There's a lock right now upon your life. and it's not allowing you to go forward, even though you got the word that cannot be changed, the master's key to unlock your finances. But you're holding on to the master's key instead of applying it. You're holding on to the word of God. You're coming to church. But you got to turn the key, the master's key. You got to apply it in order for it to unlock whatever needs to be unlocked in your life. Whatever breakthrough you need. Whatever bondage you need broken. The word of the Lord, though Paul was in prison, though Peter and John, people were still getting saved. Commentary says that Paul had greater effectiveness in prison than he did when he was out walking the dusty roads. And he had more effect in prison behind shackles and chains, because he knew that the word of God could not be chained. And this morning, there's a lot of men and women and youth that are chained up in this area of finances. When you got the master's key to be a good steward, a manager, a property, finances, and other affairs, the Bible says, the definition says on the word steward. Some of you right now are loosening up your grip. You got a little insight this morning. Some of you, not, I don't care, Master Kike, nada, I ain't giving. Straight up, I ain't giving. What part don't you understand? I ain't giving. Well, that's fine. The Lord gives us all freedom of choice. To be obedient, to be disobedient, to be cursed, or to be blessed. You choose today, the Old Testament says, to be blessed or cursed. It's one thing I know to be in prison, and the only one that got the key is the jailer, the CEO, the correctional officer. Until your day comes, then you go out. But it's another thing to stay locked up when you got the key. Sometimes we'll do some dumb stuff to stay disobedient. We'll do some dumb stuff to stay disobedient, to stay cursed instead of blessed. Parents, there's one day you might be strong and you might be able to get a working back and make finances right now, but there's going to come a day where you ain't going to be that mobile no more, where your eyesight's going to start giving on you, when you're going to start saying, ¿qué? Your ears are going to go start getting bad. You ain't going to hear. Your one knee's going to go bad, and you'll be all right. You'll be able to get to work, and then the other knee's going to go bad. And then you say, but I'm bad, man. You don't know who I was in my days, man. I used to be able to fly. I don't need my legs. And then one arm going to stop working right now. I got two shoulders that don't work, one knee that don't work, and one ankle don't work. I shared it before. It was like that dog that got lost. The dog didn't have an ear. It was missing an eye and missing a front foot, and its tail was cut off. And the sign of the person that was putting them up all over the neighborhood said the dog goes by the name of Lucky. If you find my dog Lucky, call this phone number. He's missing an eye and an ear and a tail. See, some of you are trying to be lucky this morning. Lucky the dog. And you want to stay disobedient. And you want to stay disobedient to this area of sowing and reaping. The key. Not just for your life, but for this city. This poverty-stricken minded city that we live in. We think because we work, this is my money. Scripture has clearly told us that not even your life belongs to you. Not even your movement. Not even your being belongs to you. Because God wants everything from your life to bless you. He wants to be the source. He wants to be the one that receives all the glory and honor. You can't handle it, Lucky. That's the way some of you are going to come to the rehab. You're going to come hopping. Pastor, I'm ready to give my life to the Lord, but I can't even use you, dude. You got to be able to work if you're going to be in the rehab. You got to be able to be a watchman. You can't even see no more. You got to be able to hear when the enemy comes, when God's calling. You can't even hear. Come on, Pastor, man. Give me a chance. Come on, Lucky, get in the house. Your name is Lucky. God can use all things. The good news of the gospel this morning, that God can use all things. The mind blower is that he's trusting us with money. I don't know about you, but I never worked a day in my life until I got saved. We got the key to God's word that cannot be chained. To unlock your life, your family, your marriage. Too many things happening in marriages. I know about money. This is my money. No, this is your. No, this is my money. No, this, man, stop that. My wife and I don't talk about, even since we got married, we've never talked about that stuff. Sometimes I got to tell her to pump the brakes. Not when it comes to buying another pair of $5 on sale shoes that she needs. And the ones that used to fit her a long time ago that don't fit her no more, maybe they one day, if she disciplines herself, they'll fit again. So they start stacking up in the closet. Sometimes I say, come on, do you really need another pair of shoes? Look at my closet. Do I have shoes like you, man? Come on. I got one wallet. I don't have 10, 15 purses. What the heck, man? And then they're this big. Whatever she looks for, it takes 20 minutes for her to find it. It's got all these pockets. I says, wouldn't you get smart enough to put the phone in that pocket all the time? The money in that pocket all the time? And the credit cards in that? Just a big old mess in that purse, man. Sometimes bigger ain't better. But some of you guys, start, as husbands and wives, got to learn how to start managing that money correctly. And men, it's not all yours either. You've learned. It's part of your wife's. God has made both of you guys to be managers of those finances. Both of you should know what finances are in the bank. Both of you should know what's going on with the finances going in and coming out. This is mine. This is mine. You should have stayed single. Well, that's this morning's message. Let me see. What can we do now? I forgot to pick up the offering in the beginning of the message. I forgot. Darn it. I didn't forget nothing. Ushers, make your way up here.